In today's gospel from Luke, we have Jesus' disciples asking him to teach them to pray like John the Baptist had done for his disciples. And so Jesus teaches them the Our Father. You know, Luke's version of the Our Father is a little shorter than the one we recite from the Gospel of Matthew. But both prayers begin with the word Father. You know, one of the things that's unique to the Christian religion, not only in the past but also today, is the relationship that we profess to have with our God is that of a father, and that we are sons and daughters. It's a family relationship. No other religion considers their gods as their father. Even the Jewish people didn't use the word father for God in the same way that Christians do. In the Old Testament, you will find the word Lord or Yahweh used 7,000 times. And you'll also find the word God or Elohim about 2,000 times. However, you will find the word Father for God used only 17 times. And it was used to call upon God as Father to their nation, not as a father to an individual. To do so was considered blasphemy, since that was kind of like making yourself equal with God. Islam also does not refer to God as Father. Their relationship is more of a master and servant. They also consider referring to God as Father as blasphemy. Yet in the New Testament, Jesus taught us to refer to God as the Father and as our Father. That designation of God as Father in the New Testament is used about 260 times. You know, very often we think of baptism as primarily forgiving original sin or being baptized as adults any other sin we may have committed. And it's through baptism that we become members of the Catholic Church. But even more important is that through baptism we are welcomed into God's family as his adopted sons and daughters. And we tend to forget how wonderful a gift that is. For example, we may have had a relationship with a favorite mechanic that we like to take our car to where it needs to be fixed. And we take the car to them, they have it fixed two or three times. And when you pick up the car later that day and get it back home, you find that he forgot to fix one of the items that you told him about. So you take it back and tell him. He tells you he's sorry and will take care of it right away. So you forgive him. But what we don't do is make him a part of our family. We don't add him to our will. Yet, in essence, this is what God does for us when he forgives us and welcomes us into his family as sons and daughters. And he does that for people who have done much greater crimes. He welcomes them into his family as sons and daughters. Matthew's version of the Our Father is the one that we've all learned and memorized from childhood. It's a prayer we pray most often. We prayed in public at Mass and at most of the sacraments. The penance at confession very often is to say the Our Father several times. And when we pray in private, very often we'll say the Our Father. Even those who don't go to church or pray very often can probably recite the Our Lord's Prayer whenever asked without missing a word or a line. We know it that well. But one of the dangers of knowing it so well is that we can repeat it without really thinking about what we're saying. So we need to slow down and say it with meaning. And we can do this much easier maybe when praying in private versus public. But even when reciting it together in public, think about what you're saying. A friend of mine, when praying in private, likes to switch between the two versions of the Our Father. One time he'll say the version from Matthew, and another time the version from Luke. This seems to help him to stay focused with the words that he's praying. And so that's something that you may want to try. So let us thank God for being our Father and for the graces we need to always say our prayers to him